Hello, this is Rob Gellis, today interviewing Eric Martin, who lives in Hudson, and who is very active in different community activities. Eric, it was good to meet you.
Rob, likewise. It's good to meet you as well.
I'd like to know, you're president of the Lions Club?
Past president.
Yeah.
I was past president 10 times over the years, and 7 in a row.
Wow, that's a lot. So that's a really a passion with you, the Lions Club.
Yes, absolutely. I love doing charity work. I love doing volunteer work. And when I first moved up here, a good friend of mine asked me to come to a meeting with him. Asked if I'd like to, then invited me for membership, and I said yes. And 30 some odd years later, I don't regret it.
Oh, wow. So it's been about 30 years.
Well, it's actually over 30.
30 years.
Over 30 years I've been a member of the club.
Okay.
And closer to 40.
And you've been in recent times doing medical transport for what? The Columbia Healthcare Consortium?
Columbia County Healthcare Consortium.
Oh.
Columbia County, yes.
So that must give you a lot of satisfaction. I seem to have passed you in your vehicle.
Yes, a tremendous amount of satisfaction because it's doing what I like to do, is helping people. And I love to help people, and everybody I drive says the same thing, that they're so appreciative, they don't know what they would do without the service. Because if they could drive themselves, they would. But if they don't have a vehicle, or are too ill, or if they're injured, they can't drive themselves. And if they have nobody else to drive them, they're stuck. And taking taxis is way too expensive, depending how far you have to go. Some people have to go to Albany, some go to Kingston, and it'd be too expensive to take a cab. So we're there to help them.
Also, you have your own radio show. Is it every Sunday?
It airs on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m. It's called What's Going On, and it's I promote activities or things going on in the Twin Counties, Greene County, Columbia County. I have other interesting guests that with topics that apply to people in our area. So I've been doing it since. Not quite a year, but we're getting close. And I love doing the show. I've had some very interesting guests. I hope to continue to do it.
Gee, maybe I could get on your show. We should schedule an amateur radio man. I don't know if you're amateur. I mean, I'm not paid to do my shows, but are you?
No, I'm not paid.
So you're doing it, but you're doing it on a large network, on a commercial.
Yeah, it airs on three stations. It airs on Oldies 93.5 FM. It airs on 98.5 FM, The Cat, and 1230 AM, the old WHUC. So it airs on all three stations at 7:30 on Sunday mornings.
Is it like an hour show?
Nope, half an hour. Oh,
and you find your guests ahead of time? Or
yes. Oh, yes.
They come in to the station?
Some do. Some could be done by telephone.
Oh,
because it's not a talk show where people call in. So I can do it by phone, or if people want to come into the studio, that's better yet.
I've done this program for WGXC, which is the local nonprofit FM station, 90.7. But just about a year. I mean, I fell into it just. Being around the station, and then eventually I filled out a form, and I'd like to do my own program. So I've been doing these programs for a year. I guess besides what you're doing now, and which you're very active, could you tell us a little bit about your family had a automobile dealership for what, many, many years here?
31 years, 1976 to I believe 2007 was our last year. So 31 years, we had the Ford dealership on 70 Fairview Avenue in a town of Greenport. We enjoyed it. Best thing we ever did. It was we loved the area, loved the people, and to serve the people of Columbia County and elsewhere was a privilege.
So did you came in from another area, your family?
Well, we lived in Poughkeepsie, so okay. We were about 45 miles south. And then originally from Rockland County in Nanuet, which is about 45 minutes to an hour south of that, near New York City, a suburb of New York City. So we always joke that we keep moving roughly an hour north each move.
Was this a dealership that your family had further down? And
No, the building was empty, it was available, and we looked at it and said, this is the place.
But was your father in the business
yes.
of selling?
Yes.
He was, because...
Yeah, since I could ever remember, but way back. Yeah. And I may have been in the late 50s or the late 50s. 1950s.
And you joined in?
Well, yeah, when I graduated, I worked like semester breaks, school, summer, and then got in full-time when I graduated college.
What was it like back then? This is in the 70s when Hudson?
1976, yeah.
So
April 1st, we opened up April Fool's Day.
And how was it received, the business? Did it pick up?
It received very well, yeah. People are curious and they stopped in. A lot of people came in to welcome us to the area. And, you know, we took care of people. We did the very best we could to make sure everybody was taken care of properly. Our goal was to never hurt anybody. And we weren't looking to get fat and just on any one customer. It's just, we didn't deal that way. We were unorthodox in the way we did business. We didn't look at dollar signs every time a customer walked in the door. We really took care of the people locally. We had a lot of business from New York City. And we just generally took care of people the way they wanted. Yeah, our philosophy was treat people the way you want to be treated.
Yes.
And we didn't look to hurt anybody. And we succeeded for 31 years.
What was it like when you first came to us, in your first recollection? I mean, you came up here in the 70s somewhere, right?
Yeah, 1970. Well, we opened the dealership in 76. I moved here in 77.
So were you at that time, Hudson was different than today, I think.
Oh, gosh. I'm talking to you at McDonald's, and there's a light on Fairview.
Yeah.
And that light wasn't even there.
No.
This building wasn't even here. It was totally different. I don't even think there was a light on Healy Boulevard in 66, if I recall. Yeah, there wasn't a light. So, I mean, that's how less the traffic was. And of course, we lost a lot of department stores that used to be here. And it's grown. You know, now we have Walmart. We have all these the shopping center. We never had that. It was a lot less populated, a lot more farmers. A lot of our customers were the farmers. So it's just totally different.
But you had a rental division too, because today there's a rental car enterprise.
Yes.
But it sounds like your Stan Martin had rentals.
We had rental cars, but so did
others.
So did Lincoln Mercury. So did the Chevy. Yeah.
Oh.
We all did. But again, Enterprise wasn't here at the time.
No.
When they came in, we pretty much gave up it wasn't really a moneymaker.
Yeah.
But I did meet a lot of people. I did meet a lot of, again, stars by renting cars to them. Because Al Franken, Gene Shalit, as I said, and there were others, even Marie Saint. So that part of the business we lost, because you never knew who's going to come up and visit from out of town.
What now, eventually, you closed the dealership. Was that something because of economics or just it was just
no,
too many years work?
No, it was the economics.
Was it?
All the other dealers had closed. Lincoln Mercury had closed, the Chevy dealer had closed, Chrysler Plymouth sold out to Dodge, and they moved out to Route 66 and 9H. There was nobody here. People like to shop where there's action. You go over to Catskill, and that's where, you go dealership to dealership.
Yeah.
I remember I'd be working on Sundays doing paperwork, ordering cars and stuff. I look out the window and there were people all over the place. Then I see they went across over to Lincoln Mercury, then went Chrysler, because I could see the lots. And when they all left, there was nobody on our lot. Nobody, because people aren't going to drive a distance to go to one place just to look on a Sunday. They want to go where the action is, where they can go to dealership and look. So everyone said how lucky we were. Everybody's moving out. And because we, you know, we have a lock in all the business, and it turned out to be the exact opposite.
Oh.
People want to go where that's why, you know, like you have McDonald's, you have Burger King, the drugstores are all, you know, they all want to be next to each other. They want to be where the action is. And there's a reason, you know, but you know, so when everybody moved out, our motto was the last of the little guys, and we were the last.
And you had a repair center too.
Yes.
Because when I moved here in 2005, you were still here.
Yeah, 2007 is when we...
Things have changed in 13 years, even with me. They didn't even have a light. They didn't have Walmart. That whole thing was not even there.
No, absolutely not. No.
It was just a field. It may have been things, but it was, things have changed. There were hardly the restaurants. Now there's every restaurant you want.
Well, no, and of course, when I moved up here, Warren Street was all mom-and-pop stores.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was fun. I need shoes, like down at Siegel Shoes, you know, and you knew them. You know, the drugstore, the shoe store, there were clothing stores. All, you know, you had all that, and it was all local. You had an appliance store. You had so many things. And I'm not saying whether it's good or bad or indifferent. I just think my own personal opinion is when all those people retired, who was going to take over? And if nobody did, you would have had an empty street. But so the antique dealers came up. And again, there's a lot of hot debate whether that's good or bad or indifferent. But my feeling is, if they weren't there, who would be there? Because, you know, who's going to take over those mom-and-pop stores? Now, you know, Walmart came in. It was, well, did that hurt? You know, that put all them out of business and this and that. I don't know. You know, that's not my job to judge that. But I just feel that... when those stores in Hudson were going to close, at some point, what was going to happen? So it was a different feeling. You felt like you knew everybody, and you know it was. You know, you go down the street and in the car, like, hey Bob, hey Joe, hey Bill, you know. And
people used to probably beep and.
Yeah.
Did your family live in Greenport or Hudson when you were...
When we first moved up, we were in Greenport. Actually, in the apartments I lived in then, I'm living in now. So it came full circle.
Oh.
And then we moved to Claverick and rented a house. And then the owner was selling the house, so then we moved to Valencia. And then from Valencia, we had a four-bedroom home, and my mom had passed away, so my father said, we don't need this.
Wow.
So I was he was living with me and vice versa. So we moved back down to an apartment right here.
Wow.
To be closer to the dealership. It's 1 mile away. So it's, we came full circle. And Hudson and Greenport have grown.
Mm-hmm.
Grown tremendously. It's unbelievable the difference between now. Mm-hmm. Like I said, more traffic lights. Well.
And sounds like Ronald McDonald Charities. That looks... Is that involved with that? You seem to be in charities.
Yes.
That's your big...
Yeah, I was... I've been a friend of the house well over 30 years, probably closer to 40 now. And then they asked me if I'd like to serve on the board of directors. And I think... I'm not sure if that was a 4 or 6 year term, but whatever it was, I did it. And then the executive director of the house, who's currently the executive director... he was serving with me on the board. He used to work for the Times Union Center.
Oh, hey.
And then he marketing, and then he became the general manager of the Palace Theater. Mm-hmm. So he's now the executive director of the Ronald McDonald House. He had the idea, as a matter of fact, we voted him in. He had to leave the room, and we voted him in as executive director. The position was open. He applied for it. He said that was his dream job. So he came up with an idea of the canister money. You know, when you put the canister money in McDonald's, whether it be the drive-thru or the counter, they used to have a service picking up that money.
Oh.
So, like, I'm just using an example, like a Brinks, or it wasn't armored cars, but it was a service. So he came up with the idea of doing it in-house, where I, you know, me representing the house, I go in, and people could ask me all these questions about the Ronald McDonald House, and I would know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
A service, they don't work for the house, they don't know. So they could just say, hey, I really don't know, you'll have to call them. Well, the board of directors went along with it, and they hired me. I was looking for a part-time job, and they hired me to do that. We had a territory. We went out as far as Bennington and Manchester, Vermont, We had 8 stores in Massachusetts. Went down as far as the Thruway Saugerties rest area. They have a McDonald's. As far west as the old Beech Nut plant, way out west.
Oh, yeah.
As far north as Warrensburg. And we had, I think, when we started, about 72 stores mm-hmm. that we collected the money from. Over the course of the 5 years I was with them, between me, myself, and eventually they hired somebody else because my boss had so many, he couldn't keep going out on the road, so they hired a second guy. We handled over $1 million in cash wow. for the house.
Eric, it's been, this was a great interview, a lot covered. I knew nothing except that you were the son of Stan Martin. Didn't know much more.
Can I just say one thing?
Okay, what?
Everything I was able to do, and everything I'm telling you yeah. outside of the business, I say was because of the business. It allowed
oh, really?
Me to do that.
Oh, okay.
It allowed me. I wasn't, you know, I owned the business, so I didn't, well, no, you can't go. You can't get the time off. If I needed the time off, I could do what I wanted to do.
Wait, were you running it at the end of this time?
No, actually, my father
Your
was
father
working well
was
until
there?
His 80s. Yeah, I mean, he was slowly...
Yeah, so you were together.
Yeah. Yep, right through the
but,
end.
But you were able to... You had time, even with your dealership, to do these things.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was pretty much working 6-7 days a week, so if I needed a day...
My goodness, I was thinking, well, you... Not everybody has... the time outside of their work. A lot of people get tied up with families.
Yep. But know, and, no, I made time because this is that is that's not just a love, that's a passion. I had a passion for helping send kids to Disney World. I mean, we through Lions and the agency of New Jersey. I mean, there's so many more stories I could tell what I did for the kids. Some of it I didn't make public because it's a private matter.
Yeah.
You're doing it for publicity. It's a I'm not.
Yeah.
I could. I mean, that publicity is nice if I get it, but if I don't get it, my heart.
Wow.
It was in my heart to do what I did, and still do. I'll still help anybody, anywhere, any way I can, if it's feasible or I can do it.
Wow.
I'm gonna do it. That keeps me going.
That's great.
It's more than a hobby. It's a passion. I love it. I love making kids happy. I love making adults happy. If I can get a smile out of somebody and a thank you. For doing something special for somebody, what more can you say?
Well, Eric, I want to thank you for such a great time. I've just been totally mesmerized listening to these stories that go on. Yeah.
And I want to write a book about all my hockey experience. But I won't do it. I know you got.
No.
But I got a lot more I can tell you.
This is Eric Martin. I'm interviewed today at McDonald's in Hudson about all the charitable things he did, has done, and involved with the community. Again, I want to thank you so much to being on my little show.
Well, I'm honored you asked. I appreciate it, and I thank you.
Right.